This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
The Orlando Magic, we saw, you know, they were up 3-1 in the series against Detroit. That was a shocker. But the Pistons come back and do what they were supposed to do, and that was win that series. The Magic aren't viewing it that way. They felt like they should have won that series. Well, yeah, up 3-1. Certainly a case can be made, but I was shocked they were up 3-1. So the Magic are moving on from their head coach, Jamal Mosley. They announced this morning. He spent the past five seasons with Orlando, leading the team pretty much through a rebuild into the playoffs each of the past three seasons. But they didn't advance past the first round in any of them after they lost in seven games to the Pistons this season. He was 189 and 221 overall. That one's an interesting one. Now, he did make a Final Four run to the NBA Cup, Michael. There's that. He led the Magic to two division titles and three consecutive winning seasons while dealing with a lot of injuries to starters and all that stuff, especially over like the last couple of seasons. He was an assistant with the Nuggets, the Cavs, the Mavericks. Now, he could just be one of those guys that's good at getting the rebuild done and building up your team. Maybe the Magic are looking for their next Steve Kerr. Keep that name in mind, Steve Kerr, because you remember that's what Golden State did. They built it up with Mark Jackson, and he couldn't quite get him over the hump. And then it was Steve Kerr that came in, and they started winning championships, also bringing in Kevin Durant. Didn't hurt, but they won two of those without Kevin Durant. Kind of did that organically. So maybe there's a future in Orlando for the former Golden State coach.
But yes, is Michael. Steve Kerr be available?
Stop it. Stop. I know this is your nerd day, but don't be a nerd for one day. Like, let it cancel it out. Let Star Trek Day cancel out your nerdery today, okay? Your nerddom.
I will curb my sense of humor.
Is this a weird headline that you want to read about your first round pick? Raiders quarterback Mendoza working on transition to play under center. Now, he didn't play under center very much at Indiana. It's not a top story, Michael. It is a top story because we're putting it in the top stories. I just think that's an odd headline.
I smell fumbles.
Yeah. Fernando Mendoza said he has learned a lot over the last 2 days of rookie minicamp, adding that information has been coming in like a fire hose, which is all to be expected. But they said he's like practicing under center all the time, like not just out on the field. Like, bam, they want him learning how to get the ball from under center. So this is part of what his practice has been. He primarily took snaps under center, which he was expected to do with Clint Kubiak's offensive scheme. He said he still has a long way to go to learn how to play under center after operating mostly in shotgun formation, where he was at Cal and then, of course, Indiana. He was not really an under center guy. Dude, get this. He only took five snaps under center. That's crazy. Guess I didn't really think about that. I didn't really think about that much. But I just thought that was an odd headline going forward. You remember the whole DK Metcalf altercation? He had with a fan at Ford Field during the Steelers' December game against the Lions. They are deciding that he will not face criminal charges stemming from his altercation with that fan. According to a statement provided to the Detroit Free Press, the fan, Ryan Kennedy, did not appear to be injured, nor did he seek medical attention at the game. And then they go on to say, at approximately 5:30 p.m., it is alleged that Kennedy, the fan, left his seat holding a Metcalf jersey to get an autograph. As he approached the front railing of the stands, he said something to Mr. Metcalf. As Mr. Metcalf approached the stands, there was a brief interaction where Mr. Metcalf grabbed his shirt and pushed him back. After an extensive review of all the relevant evidence, the Wayne County Prosecutor's Office has determined that charges will not be issued in this case.
Yeah. I want to know what he said.
Yeah, I don't know what he said.
If he said something really horrible, then I honestly wish he would have gotten a bloody nose, and I wouldn't have. I mean,
yeah,
technically,
I think we talked about that.
Should have been charged.
Yeah,
I don't know if I would have.
He grabbed him by the jersey forcefully and then, like, shoved him back. Like,
threw a little punch.
You can't do that.
It's technically assault. You have a couple, like, I don't know if they're separate counts, the pulling and then the punching, or if it's just one count because you. But, like, it's not a huge deal. He suffers more from the embarrassment. What's he going to do? Get a $100 ticket?
Yeah, Kennedy is suing Metcalf, among others, for making defamatory and life-altering statements. Former NFL players Chad Johnson, or Chad Ochocinco, and Shannon Sharp are included in that lawsuit for publicly suggesting what you just talked about, so be careful, Michael, suggesting Metcalf's actions were motivated by Kennedy using racist language. That lawsuit remains ongoing. I know you didn't say that, but you said you wondered what he said. They took it a step further and almost insinuated that he did say something racist. I don't know why it always has to be racist. Could be racist. Could be. Could have just been something nasty. Could have been talking smack. Who knows?
You're an ugly nincompoop,
could
sir.
Have been something. Metcalf was suspended 2 games without pay for the incident, forfeiting more than $500,000 in game checks and voiding his $45 million in guarantee. That's a lot of money. $45 million in guarantees. That is a lot.
That's enough of a punishment in my mind.
Timberwolves list Anthony Edwards as questionable for Game 1 against the San Antonio Spurs. Boy, is that series going to be something? Is Minnesota going to prove that they belong after taking down the Nuggets? And I'm going to say with relative ease and a depleted roster, if they can get Anthony Edwards back, then maybe. I'm curious to see how Rudy Gobert does against Wimby. That's a matchup. I actually am kind of looking forward. The pain is going away, and now I think I can go back to watching some basketball. I did not watch any over the weekend. I put it away from my brain. Just did not want to do it. But I actually might watch this series. 13 minutes after the hour, Michael, we'll take a short break here because we want to make room for Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. He's joining us. Also, Bears fans, big news for UNC. They've got lights coming to Nottingham Field as soon as this upcoming season. UNC head coach Ed Lamb will be on to talk to us about that. Also, they had their spring game over the weekend. All that and more yet to come here on The Whole Show. We'll be right back.
Four code words, one big prize. Tune in to Paul the Waterman, Saturday mornings at 8 on KFKA, and you could win a $1,300 reverse osmosis system. Don't miss out.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe. Joining me now, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Also, I'm saying it. We're going to start calling this segment the voice of reason when it comes to college sports, because I find myself agreeing with Mark Johnson more and more. Mark, my friend, always good to catch up with you, my man.
Well, if only there was a page paycheck that came with that title of being the voice of reason.
We're working on it. We're working on it, okay? We've got some plans. We'll write you a check, Mark. Just let us move a few things around before you cash that check, okay? Maybe wait until next year to do that.
Exactly. I worked early in my career. I had a radio station that when I got my check, the GM would say, "Can you hold off for a couple of days on that?" That was always very comforting.
That is never a good sign when you hear that. You never, if you hear that, you should probably dust up that resume, off that resume.
Exactly right.
Mark, I wanted to talk about the NCAA tournament expansion and get your thoughts on that. We're going to have a lot more games, it sounds like, on that Tuesday and Wednesday before March Madness begins. The madness part of it begins on Thursday.
Yeah, it's interesting. When I was at Syracuse prior to coming to Colorado all those years ago, Jim Boeheim was real big on expanding the tournament. And he and I used to debate that back and forth all the time. I'm a little bit of that, if it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of thing.
Yeah, me too.
We have had a beautiful thing. I was not, in favor of when they expanded it out, you get the four games on Tuesday and Wednesday. I was not a big fan of that. They did that, even though the Buffs have played in that in the play-in games. But this is all about money. That's what this whole thing is about. Every conversation you and I have over the years about college athletics is about, well, really about anything when you think about it, is about money. That's all this is about. So this is the NCAA's way of looking at this and saying, okay, how can we expand this to draw more television revenue? And so that's all this is about. To me, listen, there are 37, 8, whatever there are, just over 330 Division I teams in America. 64 teams have traditionally, since they expanded it back in the 80s, to be in the NCAA tournament. It has become, if not the most, certainly one of the top two or three premier sporting events from a television standpoint in the world. And it has been such a magical thing. There are so many other things that are affecting this, the transfer portal, the NIL, and all the stuff we've been dealing with every time we talk, that it's already affecting this tournament, and now you're going to do something else to affect it. And, look what they've done with the NBA, with a midseason tournament and all this stuff. I mean, I have no interest in any of it. And I'm afraid you're ultimately going to kill the golden goose if you continue to mess around with this thing. But, again, you're the only one to ask me these questions, so nobody else cares.
I don't know if you know this. I loathe entirely the NBA Cup. I don't know what we're trying to achieve. It makes no sense to me. And I do. I look at this and say, man, March Madness, many will tell you that's the best postseason tournament of all of them. And yet we're going to water it down. And that feels like just the beginning.
And what will eventually happen, by the way, is what we've seen, for example, with the college football playoff expansion. It just means more power conference schools. That's all it means.
Right.
So that's what's happening here. Give us more money. Let us continue to pad the power conference schools so they have more of a dominant position than they already have. And so I just think that everything we're doing right now begins to chip away. What do we love? We love that opening weekend seeing the Cinderella story, the team that's not supposed to be there, the team, when David knocks off Goliath. We all love that. Now, when we get to the Final Four, television numbers prove this over and over. We want to see Goliath versus Goliath. We love that. We love King Kong versus Godzilla, right? We love it's one monster against another monster. That's what we love at the end. But the great storylines which make the NCAA tournament such a television draw and such a public draw, because it's not just basketball fans that become enamored with the tournament that first weekend. It's your uncle that doesn't know if a basketball's blown up or stuffed. It's your cousin that all she does is bets on her pool on whatever mascot she likes the best or whatever it is. I mean, it's become this draw because it's bigger than sports, which ultimately boils down then to, big boy versus big boy in great college basketball. And so once you start messing with that and everything we're doing right now that's already chipping it away at the Cinderella aspect of it, I get very leery of that.
Are you concerned, like you said, and that totally seems like how this is heading, this is a move primarily for the power conferences to just get those bubble teams in.
Yes.
Are you concerned that the next step is to, because I worry about this with the UNC Bears here, is the next step maybe years down the road, but we whittle away at some of these mid-majors, lesser mid-majors, and we don't let the champions even get a seat at the table?
That's exactly where it's going, because ultimately where this goes, and Brady, we've talked about it in your show before, it's the breakup of the NCAA and the big boys taking their ball and going and saying it's our game, we're going to leave and go do our own thing. Look what's happening. You know, look at the last 2 or 3 weeks in college athletics. And I know I've said this on your show many times. I've been preaching this for well over 20 years, that eventually this is going to kill women's athletics and non-revenue sports. How many tennis programs across the country have been dropped in the last 2 weeks? I know two schools that I'm involved with. One I graduated from, University of North Dakota, dropped men's and women's tennis. And my first Division I play-by-play job was at Illinois State. They dropped, I don't know if it was men's or women's or both, but they dropped their tennis program. So already we're starting, you know, I told my wife the other day, I said, I want to jump on the stage someplace and do I told you so dance, because the gambling thing's becoming an issue, right? We're already seeing that. Smaller programs are having problem keeping up. You're seeing sports being dropped. This was the most obvious thing in the world from my viewpoint, and we're seeing it come to fruition. And what we're talking about here with the tournament just kind of adds, I think, fuel to the fire.
Mark Johnson joining us, talking all things college athletics. Yeah, I'm not crazy about this one. How about the 5-5 rule that looks like it's starting? I tend to like it. It simplifies it for guys like me that get very confused. Right. But also, it's not retroactive, so I can only imagine there's going to be guys that could have taken advantage of this this upcoming season. They're going to look back and say, what the heck? Hey, get my attorney on line one.
Well, yeah. That's exactly what's going to happen. You're going to see the lawsuits, despite the fact we've come through the COVID era here, where people were getting 5, 6, and 7 years because of that going on. So you've seen abuses going on in both ways. You know, Gary and I have talked about that many times. Gary said that the Football Coaches Association has been pushing for that for 30 years. 5 to play 5. We're just going to do it.
Yeah.
Everyone, right, just go. You can get 5 years anyway if you redshirt, so just do it 5 to play 5 and get it done. I don't necessarily have a big issue with that. Is there going to be some transitionary things that will be problematic, and will they be litigious? Of course they're going to, because, you know, I don't care if I switch my order at a restaurant, there's all of a sudden seems like a lawyer is dropping me a line. Oh, you can't do that. We got a lawsuit against you. I mean, it's like everything we do, somebody's suing somebody else.
Yeah.
So that's going to happen, but I don't necessarily have a big issue. I don't think it's bad for the sport. And I like the fact that, considering what we've seen here recently about, you know, let's go grab the G League guy who's 29 years old, and we can put that stuff to bed. And so in that respect, I like it. So that one is not overly problematic for me, and I don't think it's going to have any real negative effect on college athletics.
Yeah, I don't either. And I guess, so we'll do away with the redshirt freshman thing.
Yep.
Mark, what about, like, injury redshirts? Is that going to be, like, pretty significant story? How is that going to work? Are we doing away with that too?
That's a good question. I don't know that they've come to the bottom of that. You know, at some point, listen, bad things happen, right? But at some point, this is kind of this bubble wrap philosophy we've got on everything, that we have to make sure that no matter what happens, I'm treated fairly. Well, life's not fair, for goodness sakes, all right? If you blow your knee out 4 years into an NBA career and it's permanently damaged, guess what? You're done. You can't file a lawsuit to say, no, I must be able to play. And so I've got a little bit of problem. So maybe that cleans this up, that you get hurt, it happens, tough. It's not fun for me. It's not fun for you. It's part of life. People get fired. People get injured. People die. People get sick. All the different things we deal with. But you got 5 years to play five. And you know, but this idea that we have to have an addendum for every single circumstance, sometimes like, holy cow, people. I mean, that's why I call it this bubble wrap philosophy. It's, you know, we want to bubble wrap everything to make sure nothing ever bad ever happens. You can't do that all the time in life.
And do you ever just get exhausted with all these things, Mark? All these stories that keep coming out every day, every week, there's some kind of change or proposal?
Brady, it's funny, I was doing a speaking event here a short time ago, and somebody asked me a similar question. I said, I think I've gotten more checked out to the non-on-playing surface news in the last couple of years than I ever have. You know, I was always one of these guys, being what I do for a living. I was trying to be dialed into every single thing that would happen. And in the last couple of years, I've backed off that because, number one, it's exhausting. Number two, it's just too much. And number three, well, just, you know, it's like the weather in Colorado. Just wait 5 minutes. It'll change. And so I've kind of backed off from trying to dial into every single thing that happens because I know it's only temporary. And there will be the lawsuit that will be filed, you know, tomorrow and the day after that, the NCAA. Some committee is going to change this regulation, so that lawsuit then is no. I mean, it's just nonstop. And so I just kind of sit back and say, okay, let me have a 30,000-foot view of this, and I'll keep tabs on it, but I really won't get concerned until I think it's kind of getting down to the, you know, it's narrowing down to the funnel here, and now we can kind of put our hands on exactly what it is.
Yeah, I mean, with me, it's like if you take a two-day break from paying attention to everything, and we're talking like specific conference to conference stuff.
Yes.
You're lost, I'm lost all the time, Mark. But if I take my brain out of it for a second and then I come back in, I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. I am having a very difficult time. It's a lot of it's really fascinating and entertaining, I suppose, but it is a mind bend sometimes if you take a break from it.
Yeah, it really is, and that's why. You know, you've heard me say it before. I love the games. I'm not always a big fan of the sport right now. But you can look at it. This isn't just a college athletic thing. You know, I mean, look at all the storylines and the soap opera stuff that goes on in the NBA and the NFL. And so that's why I've kind of checked out of that. You know, there was a time when your sports that you paid attention to, you dial in, you know, 10 o'clock on a Tuesday night, and said sports guy would give you 3 or 4 minutes of sports, and you'd look at the sports page the next day, and they'd tell you the games, the scores, who's hurt, who's coming back, who got an award, right? That was kind of the sports news. Well, what we've done in this 24-hour world, we've expanded beyond that. You know, I one of the things I hate more than anything in the world is the pregame fits. I don't care what somebody's wearing when they walk into the ball game. I'm tired of the performative aspect of that, where guys are putting on costumes to walk into the locker room. Stop it. I don't care. It has nothing to do with anything, right? And then we hear about who's feuding with who. And I mean, these kind of silly things that really don't play into why we all originally fell in love with sports, because of the drama and the spectacular performances. I mean, you know, look at the Kentucky Derby over the weekend. That was awesome. It's fantastic. Just enjoy the pure athleticism and what went into that race. But, you know, when it comes to the business aspect and the soap opera aspect of it, I'm kind of getting to the point where I'm, you know, not paying a whole lot of attention to it.
I'm with you. You know, it's getting, like I said, it's just every day there is some kind of proposal, some kind of lawsuit, or, you know, I saw the Brendan Sorsby story, retaining an attorney to try to regain his college eligibility. It's just, it's exhausting. Yeah. It really is.
Look at that story right there. I mean, this is not a question about should I be or could I. This isn't George Costanza on Seinfeld when he slept with the maid at work and wasn't, you know, so looked at his boss when he got fired and said, was that wrong? You know, if you would have said something, right? You remember that great Seinfeld episode? Everybody knows. I said to somebody the other day, you can't walk around the University of Colorado Athletic Department in the bathroom, in the hallways, the locker rooms. There is tips at the toilet. There's a thing they put in front of the urinals in the men's room, and it's NCAA rules, right? And every year, on numerous occasions, they've got warnings about gambling. You get around the NCAA tournament, and it is everywhere. Everybody knows this. This is not a question about this. This is a common knowledge piece of information in the world of sports. No athlete has ever not known this. So for Brendan Sorsby to go out and allegedly be casting, what does it say, thousands upon thousands of bets, and now somehow he's like, what, you're taking my eligibility away? I never thought this could happen. Shut up, you're lying, man. You knew it. Of course you knew it. And so it just grates on me when you get these guys that blatantly violate rules everybody knows about and then cry wolf afterward and say it's not fair.
I'm with you. I mean, you know what you're getting into, and yet we're getting more and more of these stories that are like, wait, what? I don't have. Yeah, it's wild to me, Mark.
When you get pulled over doing 90 and a 55, don't get mad at the police officer.
Yeah,
you did it.
Yeah,
except the punishment.
Very well said, Mark. Always appreciate the insight, my friend. And we'll see what's new next. I'm sure the college football playoffs will be changed, and we'll have a midseason cup and all that stuff coming up next week. So, Mark, we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
I look forward to it. See you.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffs, the voice of reason when it comes to the NCAA. 12:32 the time, UNC announces installation of lights at Nottingham Field for the 2026 season. UNC head football coach Ed Lamb will join us next to talk about it. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for The Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, it is official. UNC announces installation of lights at Nottingham Field for the 2026 season. We'll get into that. Also, the Bears had their spring game over the weekend. Joining me now, UNC head football coach and one half of Football 52, great podcast here on KFKA, Ed Lamb joining us. Coach, always great to catch up with you, my friend. It's been too long, what, since last Wednesday?
Very kind of you to give me 50% of the whole of the podcast. That's big time. Thank you.
Hey, I'm just happy you still allow me to sit in there with you. You're getting good at it. You could probably just take it over, and it could just be called Ed Lamb's Thoughts, man. I mean, seriously, it's a fun podcast.
Anybody who's seen me at a party knows that would just be 45 minutes of silence.
Coach,
I need you.
Well, likewise, my friend. Before I get into the light conversation with you, not that it's not a heavy conversation, but how did the spring football game look this weekend? I know we talked a lot about that leading up to it, of course, but wanted to get some quick thoughts from you.
Number one always has to be just an injury standpoint. You know, that's the first analysis. By the time we get to the spring game, which really for us was just a glorified practice, we've already had 14 of our 15 practices. We've already made the substantial amount of improvement that we would hope to make. And, you know, that final day sometimes just feels like a threat from a risk standpoint, where we could, you know, potentially lose somebody from off season training or even for the season in the spring game. So, you know, I thought we had to balance a little bit of how much live we did, but then on the other hand, there are a lot of especially young players who haven't appeared in games before that will be appearing in games, and they need a chance to continue to improve every chance they can get. So we had zero injuries, and there was a great atmosphere. I think a lot of the Colorado recruiting is paying dividends with, you know, just even at a spring game that was by 10 times more people than we've ever had in a spring game in terms of people in the stands. And we had it at 9 a.m., which probably wasn't ideal for some. So it was, I think on all counts, was a really good spring game Saturday.
Well, and Coach, we've talked about that a lot on the podcast too. Just kind of the buzz surrounding this program. And I know you're not anywhere close to where you want to see this program go, but after, you know, taking big time productive steps last season, we get this big announcement about the lights and everything, and then you're telling me, hey, at the spring game early on a Saturday, we're getting a, you know, a nice little pop from the fans there. It's certainly, I continue to ask this, but you've got to be feeling it throughout the community that there is a lot more talk surrounding this Bears football program than there has been in years, maybe decades at this point.
Sure, yeah, and you and I have talked about, you know, on the podcast and stuff, and even from day one, some of that's been just deliberate and by design. Local recruiting certainly helps that. We've got friends and family that are showing up to practices and games, and that'll happen more and more. But, you know, I think it's exceeded my expectations in terms of people that are showing up and supporting, and even supporting things like this light project, who maybe don't have a familial tie or even know somebody personally that's on the team. But I think there is starting to be an awareness that we're trying to build this in a way that only Greeley could, And I feel the buy-in, certainly from my bosses, and the lights are a byproduct of that, but, you know, the community at large.
UNC head football coach Ed Lamb joining us. Now we kind of, you know, once this news kind of hit that lights will in fact be at Nottingham Field, the next question was when. We didn't know for sure, coach, if it was going to be this fall, next fall, how it was going to look, but let me just say, I mean, things moved pretty quickly once this started to become a reality, and we're going to have lights for next season's home slate. You know, we'll see what all those game times look like, but we're going to see a lot more games, or a lot of games, around that 6 o'clock time frame.
That's huge for us. The players and us, you know, us within the building, on the football roster and the coaching staff, we've been in a little bit of a purgatory with regard to the lights, because we've known the intentions of the administration. We've had, you know, the news that many donors or certain donors have stepped up at specific times and known what those commitments were. And we could feel it coming and felt like it was going to happen. And yet there was no official announcement made, which, you know, I think was a smart thing until it's 100% or as close to that as could be. The university didn't want to make any announcements. And so it was exciting to finally hear that the university was willing to do more than talk about it and fundraise for it, but actually commit to it. And it's going to make a major difference for us in ways on the field, competitively, in recruiting. It's going to make a major difference. The visual product, I feel like on the one hand, I feel like this is not something that would need to be explained. And then on the other hand, I do have people that say, so what do you think lights are going to do for you? And I don't know if they're just trying to make conversation, but I'm like, man, ChatGPT that. You know, I'm like, this is a game changer for this whole community. Yeah. This is, if you own a restaurant, a bar, a hotel, if you're a fan, if you've got kids that want to watch football and you're spending your Saturday during the day at the games, if you're a college student and you want to go to a game, you don't want to go to a noon game that's 89 degrees in the sunshine and on the metal bleachers. I mean, this is a game changer for all of us.
Yeah, I mean, that aspect of it, you and I talked about that too with the students. We all know, hey, students like to go out on Saturday night, and sometimes the idea of going to a game at noon and then what are we going to do after the fact? I don't know. But this lines up to, hey, we're going to the football game. We're going to enjoy that. Most of the time, these students, you know, in college, these 18 to 23, 24-year-olds, their night doesn't begin until like 9 or 10 o'clock. So you lead them up, you get them to go into the game, and then they're out rolling. Like you said, great for restaurants, great for businesses too. Just for the student aspect of it, I think is huge.
Yeah, absolutely. You talk to most of these college students. I mean, the athletes in the athletic department all support each other, and they live pretty rigorous schedules. They don't mind getting up early. But you talk to just a regular kind of standard student on campus about, you know, a noon game and then showing up a couple hours early, maybe for a tailgate or something like that. They're like, really? The crack of noon? I'm like, no way.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big difference. It's completely different lifestyles for a good chunk of students. Coach, now, I know this was made very clear by UNC that if this was going to happen, it was going to be possible through, you know, a combination of donors, contributions, corporate sponsorships, things like that, going out and getting extra dollars outside of what the school has. So this was kind of an independent type of project.
Yes, and you know, I took this job knowing that there were challenges and obstacles. I mean, let's be clear, we are the last Division I team with a track around our field and no lights. I mean, there are definitely some areas where we continue to need to play catch up. And one of my, I guess you would call it, pitches for when I was interviewing for the job was, look, I don't mind playing catch up. I've done that before. I think it's fun. I think it's fun to do more with less. But we got to play catch up. And so, you know, when you start to have realities like that where you're the last out of 130 Division I schools to have a certain scenario, I think it is time to step up. And so I'm really glad about that. You know, so part of my job is just to, you know, make do and be grateful for the things that we do have, and we have a lot. And then another part of my job is to at least point a finger in the direction that I think we need to go for sustained success and to be able to reboot and renew goals as we achieve things. And so from that perspective, I'm really happy that the administration came up with a plan in response to just, you know, what initially for me was just an idea, and I didn't want it to be heard as a complaint, and I don't think it was heard as a complaint. I think it was heard as a proposal and an investment opportunity, and I believe that in short time, everybody will know that this was an investment, not a cost.
Yeah, I'm excited. You know, for the longest time, we've been asking those questions. Why can't we get that figured out? I know it takes money. I know it's easier said than done. And I think a lot of people in this community, especially the sports fans, were wondering why that wasn't the case. Well, here we are. And Coach, I know you've been passionate about this, and it's exciting to see, you know, the athletic department, everybody getting behind this and moving forward, because you know, I know you're feeling it. We're seeing it too. There is a different buzz surrounding UNC, specifically on the football side of things. So we're excited for you, Coach.
Well, thanks for all you do to give us some attention and cover what's going on with the program. I feel really excited about the commitment level of the players. And I told the players, hey, as far as our messaging goes, let's keep it humble, because everyone's really confident right now. And our messaging is just, hey, we've got a chance to be a pretty good football team. And I think inherent in that statement is we still have work to do.
I can't wait to see it start. You know, I know it's already started with the on the spring football side of things, but now of course we'll break for a bit, and we'll see what happens as we get closer and closer. Not that far, you know, from that first kickoff of the season, Coach. So can't wait to document that with you. The preseason, you and I are going to, of course, we're going to go through the depth chart, you know, player by player. You know, you love that, I know,
your,
and we're going to have that
100%
ready to go by the start of the season. But Coach, we'll look forward to seeing you in here on Wednesday morning, bright and early.
116 days until game one. We're counting them down.
116 days. All right, my friend. We'll look forward to it. We'll talk to you on Wednesday.
Thanks, Brady.
All right, there he is, UNC head football coach Ed Lamb. You know, it's a thing. You know, it seems obvious enough. Why don't you have lights? And Coach said it. We're the last Division I school that doesn't have lights. I know, it costs money. $1.6 million. But for some reason, they got donors excited about doing it this year as opposed to all the other years before. And I think it has something to do with that man you just hung up on, Michael.
I mean it.
Yes, you know
I did
what I
not
mean.
Hang
yeah,
up
I didn't
on
say
him.
You hung up on him. I meant that you hung up the phone. Yes, that's what I meant
yes
to say.
I think he may be low-key, but he's an excitable dude. Mm-hmm. He is a guy that gets people on board.
He's not a guy that talks a lot, even though we do a podcast together. He's not a guy that makes a lot of promises. He's not a guy that can sit in front of a microphone and talk about the problems of the world and college sports, and this is what we're going to do. But when he does feel passionate about something, people tend to listen, because when he brings something up, he's very passionate about it. And we love that about UNC head coach Ed Lamb. 12:49 the time. Let's take a quick break here, Michael. We'll wrap up hour number two. Coming up, we've got clip of the day. Yeah, Adam Silver, open your ears, bro. And then the voice of the Colorado Avalanche, Connor McGahee, will join us as well. Keep it here on The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe. We'll be right back.
Congratulations to Coach Bruce Dick on winning the Colorado High School Coaches Association 2026 Media Award. Hear Coach speak with Bruce Dick, weekdays at 10 on KFKA.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, a former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Might be a little chilly here in the next couple of days, but it'll warm up by the end of the week. Eaton Country Club. Think about becoming a member out there, or go on their website, eatoncc.net, and find out what upcoming tournaments will be happening in the next few months. Try one of those bad boys out, and you don't have to take my word for it, but you should, but you don't have to. You can try out one of these tournaments for yourself and see if that will be your next golf home. Sign up to become a member out at the Eaton Country Club at eatoncc.net. Coming up next, we got the clip of the day, and then the voice of the Colorado Avalanche will join us, Connor McGahee. The Avs win 9-6 in game one. It was a score fest. Can we expect more of the same in this series? We'll talk to Connor about that a little bit later on. Keep it here. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.